Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. This is Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, Justin DeSandro. JD, how you doing today?
It's one of those days where I'm not wearing pants.
Yikes. Why aren't you wearing any pants, man?
See, you always mistake no pants as like you don't recognize in the reality of clothing that shorts exist. I'm wearing shorts. It's like 60 degrees.
Shorts or jorts?
You really need to do me a favor as a friend and never picture me in cut-off shorts again?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that my brain goes there.
I agree. There's doctors for this kind of problem.
A lot of questions being answered today. Anyway, yo, let's jump into last week's episode. We got this DeLorean. I think it's fitting that we go back in time and talk about our Happy Gilmore episode, which... Man, I gotta say, we got a lot of great feedback from Happy Gilmore. I think people really liked the poster, because we had quite a few likes on that. But what'd you hear from the peanut gallery here with Happy Gilmore?
It was exciting to see the amount of people that came out to vote on that poll topic. And it was a close vote for those of you that either did vote or didn't vote or don't remember, don't give a shit. But it was a close race between Happy Gilmore and The Wedding Singer, with Billy Madison like nipping on the heels. And, you know, the love and feedback that you guys all gave, you know, for the episode was the same outpouring that you did for the poll topic. And it was great to see that. I mean, I'm glad that we can create content and episodes that are geared towards what you guys want. That's why we're here. So thank you. And we're going to keep on rolling and rocking. So thanks for engaging and keep it up.
Absolutely. Help support the podcast by going on to iTunes right now. Rate, review, and subscribe to our show. It only takes you guys a minute, and by subscribing, make sure you guys never miss an episode. And we drop two episodes every week. The teaser trailer, which is the one you're listening to right now, is our first episode. And then we have our more lengthy full episode, which includes the scene-by-scene breakdown of the film. And that drops every Wednesday. So get on iTunes right now, subscribe to the podcast. And then while you're there, find us on social media. We're at Back in Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and then we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Back in Time Pod. So JD, let's do a little intro to Cool Runnings, man. Ooh, I got a way to go on that accent there. But let's preview the movie here. What's your first memory of Cool Runnings?
So my first memories of Cool Runnings, what we're talking 1993 here. Obviously it was probably the toes of winter. Gosh, it's the 25th anniversary, right?
It is 25th anniversary, October 1st. Oh, can't believe God. It's that old already.
25 years old. What is Dougie Doug up to now?
That's a great question. And, we'll probably dive into that more in the full review, 'cause I don't have a lot of info on those guys right now, but
I got distracted. I was thinking of my first time watching it, and then I thought of the whole Dougie Doug's whole shtick in that movie, and it just got me super excited. But this for
Psycho
me,
man.
I remember watching this at my neighbor's house on VHS. It was definitely a blockbuster night movie. It was definitely a watch it twice in one night. And then it was definitely get onto a rolling chair and thinking that we were all... Cool Runnings, and just skidding as far as we could until we crashed into a wall and got yelled at by parents.
So this is one of those movies I remember watching a lot, because my grandpa was such a big fan of John Candy that we'd go to the movie store and he'd be like, let's watch this one. It would be Uncle Buck or The Great Outdoors or Cool Runnings. And he really loved John Candy. And I kind of fell in love with this movie at a young age, and I watch it probably every single year at least once. And I think, you know, with the Winter Olympics starting up, tomorrow, actually. So I believe this will come out on the 5th, and I think the Olympics start tomorrow on the 6th or the 8th. I can't remember off the top of my head. I thought it would be fitting that we talk about the 1988 Jamaican bobsled team, which this movie is based off. So did you know this was based off of a true story?
It's something that I learned in my elder years. As a child, you have no idea. You just kind of see something new. You see something different. I love that you've already name-dropped John Candy because he's such an amazing actor and a massive presence in this movie and in so many others. I think this is the first time that we're getting elbows with him, right?
Yes, this is our first like full John Candy movie.
Yeah, so this is
exciting.
I know
we've talked about him in other episodes, but he hasn't been in anything that we've done yet.
So, I mean, this is exciting. And, you know, as a kid, you know, you're enthralled in the story. And that's the beauty part of creating a true to life story. You know, from a writing aspect, you take something like this and you sort of transform it. And in the 90s, it was easier to do to create something that would be a kid's movie. This is a Disney release, right?
Yeah, Buena Vista. So part of their Disney line.
And, you know, it's such a built-in great story because it's true. And no, I didn't realize it as a kid, but as an adult, when you realize it, it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. So as we always do on this episode, we're going to pull up the original trailer. And I have you guys go into YouTube right now and just type in Cool Runnings original trailer. And the very first one that should pull up will say Cool Runnings trailer HQ. It has 712,000 views, and it's by Only Previews. I'm going to cue that up right now. Let me know when you're ready.
What did you say it was called again?
Cool Runnings original trailer, and then the title just says 1993 Cool Runnings trailer HQ. So I'm going to give a 3-2-1 countdown, and we're going to hit play and listen to the original trailer here. And we'll be back on the other side of the comment. So here we go. 3-2-1 click.
You sigging? You sagging?
Oh, cool.
Always remember, your bones will not break in a bobsled.
No,
they shatter. So, who wants in?
We're looking for a sponsor for the first Jamaican bobsled team.
Their dream was to compete in the Olympics. But they chose a sport they knew nothing about.
Great. Very good.
In a climate they had never been.
Cold weather endurance is vital to building a successful sled team.
This is the true story of four unlikely athletes.
How about I beat your butt right now?
How about I draw a line down the middle of your head so it looks like a butt?
Who weren't prepared for what they were about to face.
It's a beautiful afternoon in Calgary, and there is a lot more coming up.
Is this whole thing a big joke?
I can't get my helmet on. Oh, thanks, coach.
Why don't you put some training wheels on that sled?
It's a bobsled into the real man.
You know, you're going to have to do this on your own one day.
Oh.
You have no business here, Jamaica.
People are always afraid of what's different.
Now!
But they found in each other...
Do you really expect these Jamaicans to qualify?
The courage to give it their all.
Not only are they going to qualify, they're going to turn some heads doing it.
I see pride. I see power.
And they took the whole world along for the ride.
It's to follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
I am feeling very Olympic today.
A story for anyone who dares to stand out in a crowd.
I didn't come up here to forget who I am and where I come from.
And everyone with the courage...
Cool running!
...to stand up for their dreams.
How will I know if I'm enough? When you cross that finish line...
Where did these guys come from?
Jamaica!
You'll know.
Cool running.
So what are we going to name this sled?
Tallulah.
Tallulah.
That's my mother's name.
Tallulah. I like it.
All right, JD, I'll let you go first. What do you think of the trailer here for Cool Runnings?
I remember watching the trailer, you know, as a kid and seeing it come out. And honestly, I didn't know anything about One Jamaica. I'll be honest. I mean, we were in the 90s, we weren't as educated as kids were today about world affairs. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah.
But and on top of that, I didn't know much about bobsledding, but it seemed, you know, totally cool coming from the Midwest, from seeing snow all the time. I was like, okay, this is kind of a cool little take on it. It's not a Christmas movie, but it's a winter movie, is what I always thought. And watching this trailer now, it's definitely a well-cut trailer. I love the way that it opens with John Candy and his little shtick. He has great delivery. It's not over the top and beating you down, but it's hilarious. And yeah. It's, you know, they put a focus on him, I think, over the rest of the actors. I watched him as the main character, which at least when I watch the movie, I tend to watch the movie a little bit differently. I don't necessarily think of him as the main character.
Sure.
But I definitely like the way that the trailer positions him, because I think he's a great actor and I think he's a great asset to this movie.
No, I agree 100%. I thought they did a good job of kind of having him weave in and out of the trailer, beginning, middle, he's the ending part, you know, with Dereese. He's just, you know, how will I know, coach? You'll know when you get to the finish line.
That's great. Ends, so. To everyone out there that ever teaches or coaches a kid, like, that's great coaching advice right there.
Yeah.
And teaching advice, like, I'm just, I kind of had forgotten about that line, and like hearing it in the trailer, I'm kind of like, man, I'm going to have a great day at work tomorrow because I'm going to get to the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that stood out to me, and it was so random, because I'm watching this and for some reason in my head, I'm going, the movie Hoosiers? And I realize it's the same music from the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. Did that catch you at all, or is that just me?
That was just you, man. Good catch by you. I probably haven't seen the Hoosiers in like 2.5 decades.
I guess when you grow up playing basketball in Indiana, it's just kind of ingrained in you.
That was the music that you guys came out to the court on, wasn't it?
Oh, for sure. It definitely played in many of a gym growing up, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think the trailer really sets the tone for, you know, this movie's going to be funny, but it's also a very serious movie, and it's a powerful movie. I mean, there's moments in this film that I think can really kind of pull at the old heartstrings with it, and John Candy does a great job delivering those lines too, for the most part. He's got a lot of the emotional scenes as well as Dereese, and there's one with Sanka as well, where they have kind of a cool moment as well. But I'm excited to watch the movie for sure. So let's jump into some box office numbers here. So Cool Runnings was released to cinema on October 1st, 1993. So we are fast approaching that 25th anniversary. Cool Runnings has a runtime of 98 minutes and was distributed by Buena Vista, a division of Disney, with a production budget of $14 million. Opening weekend, Cool Runnings ranked third at the box office, pulling in $7 million. In week two, they jumped to number two and brought in $8.5 million, bringing the 10-day total to $17.2 million. The schoolyard effect may be in effect here. JD, what are you thinking 10 days in?
I'm thinking the bobsled picks up steam and they start rolling around the first curve.
You would be correct. So Cool Runnings would stay in the top five for 7 weeks and would stay in theaters for a total of 14 weeks on its way to a domestic gross of $68,856,263. The foreign box office brought in $86 million, bringing the worldwide total to $154,856,263. JD, are you surprised at all by the box office here on a $14 million budget movie?
No, I mean, this movie is about the little engine that could. It's sure. The underdog. And I, with that budget, this movie itself was an underdog. I know that we're going to get into its competitive, you know, films, its opening weekend and so on, but no, I'm not surprised, because I think that it's a symbol for, you know, what the movie represents and what it symbolizes and what they accomplished within the film itself.
Definitely. And I think there was that schoolyard effect, because I remember watching this movie as a little kid and telling all my friends, and, you know, with it being, you know, almost winter in October and the movie lasted all the way till December. I know for a fact, I can remember sledding down the hill with like three or four of my friends, and I'm going, Eins, Jive, Bein, yeah, trying to mimic what the Swiss team was doing, or doing the Cool Runnings thing and like sprinting off the hill and trying to jump on the sled. Like, it's a fun movie to do.
Yeah, and again, especially coming from the Midwest where we have that kind of snow where we could all jump on a sled or a toboggan or whatever you wanted to call it, go down that hill and know full well that we're not going to break and shatter bones, hopefully. I've all had bad experiences going down a hill, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, I think everybody from in Illinois and Indiana and Wisconsin and Minnesota and, you know, all of those great states have reenacted these scenes.
For sure. Cool Runnings was released on VHS on November 11th, 1994. So it took it took over a year. So a year, a month, and 10 days for the movie to actually get to the movie stores for rental. I know we've talked about this in previous episodes, but man, what was it about the 1990s that they just couldn't pick up that production fast enough to make these VHS tapes?
It's a practical thing. Like, it was a different world back then. Like, not every house had a VCR.
Yeah.
Not everyone had didn't have the capabilities for it yet. Like, and so that's typically why Titanic stayed in theaters for so long, because there was more money to be had by keeping it in theaters than it was for a home box office delivery.
Definitely. Good point. So let's talk about John Candy real quick, because I don't know when we're going to get to talk about him again. I know we're going to probably play in like a John Candy month at some point, but we can't do too many of his movies if we're going to pull that off. Might just have to be a pull topic. But what's your favorite memory of John Candy? Who, this was actually his, and this will be one of my little known facts, or my interesting facts in the next episode, but this was the last movie that he actually got to see premiere, because he died before any of his other movies made it to theaters.
You know, I love the story that you told earlier about you and your grandfather and your John Candy, you know, movies and, you know, watching that. It's so great. I had similar with Leslie Nielsen with my grandpa.
Yeah.
But for me, from John Candy, Camp Candy, remember that cartoon?
I do.
I loved Camp Candy. And that's what really got me into loving John Candy and his movies. So I sort of did it in reverse. Mm-hmm. After seeing, I believe that was a Saturday morning cartoon, and I don't think I saw Uncle Buck until after I watched Camp Candy. So I was a few years older, and so then like really had a chance to appreciate his just deadpan shtick, his delivery, and what he does in Home Alone, and what he does in Planes and Trains and Automobiles. And you know, as I grew older, like I really think he's underrated, but he's extremely popular, and he's so famous. And I still think that he's underrated for his talent.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And it's funny talking about him, because I have a John Candy Chevy Chase action figure on my desk right now. And it's from the movie Vacation when they're on the roller coaster ride. And it's him screaming and Chevy Chase next to him. And then you push a button and it's got like two or three different things that it'll actually say. But and what's the one movie that you kind of... When you hear his name, you automatically think of that movie, that role.
Definitely Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
And I think he outshines Steve Martin at times in that movie.
Yeah, sure.
I definitely watch it as a Steve Martin movie, but he is just, he's the underdog, and he's got the emotional complexity, and he portrays it both as a dramatic character and a comedic character. I mean, he's the sad clown in that movie, and
yeah.
I will watch that movie every single year. I will cry a little, I will laugh a little, and then I get hungry and ready for Thanksgiving.
So there's two movies that I think about when I hear his name. The first is The Great Outdoors, because I think that's really his first movie that by himself, obviously Dan Aykroyd's a great co-star for him in that one, but that one is like his movie. And then the second one is Uncle Buck. So he's awesome as Buck Russell in that movie.
Oh my gosh, he is. Yeah, and I mean no disrespect to either of those movies. Like him and Uncle Buck, he's terrifying in that movie. Like the scene with the shtick between him and Macaulay Culkin is priceless. Like like that should be studied by anybody that's ever making, you know, a good, you know, tit for tat scene.
Yeah, I agree. Let's jump into some critic response and see what the critics thought about Cool Runnings here. So, as always, I'm going to have you try and guess here, JD. And if you're new to the show on Teaser Trailer, we use Rotten Tomatoes to kind of gauge critic and audience response here. So, JD, how do you think the critics received Cool Running?
So, I have a feeling that when this movie came out, it was respected, one, for it being a Disney movie, two, for it being a true story, and three, for it being the underdog movie of the year. So I feel like critics probably came out smiling, but being that it's probably more marketed as a kids movie, there was probably some reservations to like go overboard. Like, because it's an upbeat movie. I don't think of it as a comedy movie, although it's hilarious.
Right.
It's a family movie, but it's not like Homeward Bound. Like, there's a lot more heart to it. It's a sports movie, but it's not Mighty Ducks.
Right. Okay. Those are good comparisons. I like that.
I'm going to say 72%.
Okay, great. And how about the audience?
Do you think the audience consider this a cult classic?
I don't know if it's a cult classic just because it did so well at the box office. Can you be a cult classic and do $154 million? Or do you got to shit the bed?
I know people that sit down and watch this religiously every year.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, so to me, that sort of is a definition of a cult classic, isn't it? Like,
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I'm going to say people come out to boot and they do a little... I want to say the fans are close to what the critics say, and I'm going to say 76% for the fans.
Okay, awesome. So you're really close on both of them. So critic gave it a 75 certified fresh rating.
Boom.
And the audience scored 81% certified fresh.
Nicely done, fans.
There you go. I was just, you know, thinking about that as you say cult classic, I always think about, you know, the conventions and things like that. Man, how cool would it be if you could go to a convention and get a picture taken on a bobsled with those guys at a signing? Tell me that line would not be out the door.
Hey, man, I once tried to get R.L. Stein's autograph, and it was a two-hour wait.
Wow.
It was a free autograph, too.
And if you pay $20 extra, you get to kiss Senka's lucky egg. Kiss my lucky egg.
I think that needs to happen. I mean, who do we need to call?
Dougie Fresh.
Yeah, Dougie Doug.
Yeah, Dougie Doug and Leon, and get the whole crew. Raul Lewis, Malik Yoba. I need to make sure I know how to pronounce all those guys' names correctly. But yeah, let's hear from the critics though, because I had a couple good comments here. Roger Ebert had this to say. It's not a bad movie. In fact, it's surprisingly entertaining with a nice sweetness in place of the manic determination of the average sports picture. The actors playing the bobsledders have a nice comic charm, especially Doug E. Doug as a high-energy guy named Sanka Coffee. John Candy has a couple of stirring speeches that he somehow delivers as if every word were not recycled from other films. If you like underdog movies, you might like this one, especially if you haven't seen many. He gave it 2.5 out of 4 stars. I have to say, this feels like a compliment, but it also feels like he was like, here's your compliment, and then I just spit on your shoe.
See, I agree. I'm glad that you read his review, because I feel like that is a lot of what we've been getting at, especially saying that it's a sports movie but doesn't feel like a sports movie.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like I was expecting a 3-star review out of him at least. And sure, for him to say all of those great things and to compliment John Candy and to say it takes a fresh spin on, you know, an old favorite with, you know, the overboard and over the top speeches, which this movie is very prevalent with, 2.5 seems like, yeah, it seems like he's spitting at it a little.
Yeah, it does. Now, I had one more. I probably should have read this first because the other one was much longer. But Richard Harrington of the Washington Post said, a wholesome, engaging, hilarious, ultimately inspirational film. And he gave it a thumbs up. So we got some good responses. Yeah, I don't like Roger Ebert's review of the movie, though. I have to say, that it bothers me reading that. If I'm John Candy and I see him on the streets, I'm going, seriously? That's all you thought of the movie?
It doesn't bother me, but it rubs me the wrong way. Because yeah, I think that he complimented and acknowledges the movie in all the right ways that he needs to.
Right.
But then why? I don't get the 2.5, because if it's not a 3... it's a 2. The half star to me is meaningless.
Mm. Yeah, the half star seems like a slap to me. I don't like the half star at all. Yeah, I'm looking forward to jumping into the movie. What are you looking forward to most when we get into the full review here for Cool Runnings?
I'm definitely looking into the songs, the chants, and the crashes. There are a lot of great crashes and snowballs, and there's a lot of good fights. Like, this is a pretty energetic movie.
All right, so we're going to put up a poll topic for this week, and we're going to do some Jim Carrey. So, JD, I know I talked about this to you earlier in the week. What do you love about Jim Carrey?
He has such a stringy personality to him. It's very unpredictable. His comedy is so on the nose, yet so unpredictable. Like, he's a physical comedian. He's verbal. He's facial.
And he's stringy. When you said stringy, I'm like, that's like a perfect definition of him.
Isn't it?
He's kind of gangly and his arms are everywhere. He's like a human ventriloquist.
Yeah, he kind of is.
So here's our poll topics. You guys are going to vote. This is going to be the episode that pops up on February 26th and 28th. This will be right after our sequels. And the first poll topic here you can vote on is number one, Ace Ventura. So JD, this didn't win the last time we posted it, but it came pretty close. What might we cover if our audience finally votes for Ace Ventura?
So I'm going to say this. You guys, please, please come out and vote for Ace Ventura. This is such an underrated crime movie. Like, the story behind this movie, not behind the movie, the story of this movie, what he goes through and the crime he's trying to solve is freaking phenomenal. Plus Dan Marino and Isotoners.
Number two, this is going to be our first drama, potentially. So we're looking at the 1998 comedy drama, The Truman Show. What might we cover if we discuss The Truman Show?
You guys, if you vote for The Truman Show, you're going to get a long, in-depth episode where I'm going to nerd out on a lot of writing topics and, you know, writer tendencies, and we're going to see a lot of, literature-type elements in this. This is a very deep movie, and bring it. Let's do this.
Absolutely. Number three, the 1997... very successful comedy, Liar Liar. What might we cover if we get into Liar Liar?
I think Liar Liar is just such a weird movie. We're gonna discuss how this kid is basically God, and he just gets to use his birthday wish to, you know, toss his demands onto the world and get whatever the hell he wants. I mean, that's kind of effed up.
Forces is he's a fast track lawyer that can't lie for 24 hours due to his son's birthday wish that comes true. Also, if we discuss Liar Liar, then we're also getting into our first movie with Jennifer Tilly. And I'm a big fan of her just from the Child's Play movie.
For her acting abilities.
Oh, absolutely. What else would it be for?
Wistful. Makes me wistful.
Number four. We've got the 1996 movie, The Cable Guy, about a lonely and disturbed cable guy who just wants a new friend, starring Matthew Broderick as well.
Very glad to bring Matthew Broderick onto the show, not physically or, you know, vocally, but to have some Matthew Broderick representation. I think The Cable Guy is kind of like the, like, it's the epitome of 90s movies. We get to talk about medieval times. We get to talk about playing Mortal Kombat with, you know, somebody across the world. We get Cable. We get Jack Black's in it. Ben Stiller's in it. Andy Dick is in it. I mean, this movie is kind of like, seriously, it's the epitome of 90s.
Yeah, and it's also, this movie is actually directed by Ben Stiller, too.
Is it really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yep, on the heels of his first directorial movie, which was Reality Bites. This was his, like, first big budget movie, I believe. So that would be a fun one to get into. So those are our topics for the week. And the week after, we're not going to have a poll topic next week because it's actually the 20th anniversary of The Big Lebowski. So we're looking forward to getting into that. So just a little preview of what's to come. But just to recap again, go to our Twitter right now, @BackInTimePod, and vote between Ace Ventura, The Truman Show, Liar Liar, or The Cable Guy. You guys vote. We're going to review. We'll all listen together here and have some fun. So, all right. So we're looking forward to jumping into Jim Carrey week. And we'll be back with the full episode, which is going to drop on Wednesday. As always, cruise on over to our social media interact with us on there. We want to hear from you. So just tweet us. We're at Back in Time Pod. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Maybe you're old school. Maybe you're listening to this on YouTube and you don't have all those things. Shoot us an email, backintimepodcast@gmail.com, and let us know what you think about the show. We'll be back again on Wednesday with the full review for Cool Runnings. Looking forward to diving into that. But for myself and JD, we're going to wrap it up. So it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, pop on our seatbelts, and hit back to 2018. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.
Hey, Senka, you dead man?